The following podcast episode may contain spoilers, because Billy is a bitch. If you do not want to hear the spoilers, go do something else. If you have seen this movie already, then let's do this. Initiating podcast in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, I'm Cody.
And I'm Billy.
And this is the Film Feed.
So we are starting week 1 of Nick Cage November.
Yeah.
Every week we're going to review a movie starring Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And last year we reviewed Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And at the end of that we said that we would start with Ghost Rider 2 this year. And so we did that.
We did the thing.
We did the thing we said we'd do. And I, for one, am proud of us for remembering a year later.
I'm actually kind of sad that we didn't watch these movies back to back.
I can see that.
Because the start of this movie, there was a couple points where I'm like, wait, did that happen in the first movie?
They very much so... They try to do, like, a reboot sequel.
Yeah.
Like, explain enough of the original, but change things around. Because if you remember in the first Ghost Rider movie, he couldn't be Ghost Rider in the sunlight. He just couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
That's just something he couldn't do. In this movie... He's just like, I don't care about this goddamn sun. Got my face. So, going to this movie, I didn't know what to expect at all. I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
And I even said last year that I would not watch it until we reviewed it on the show. And I have to say it, I feel like it's an improvement over the first film. I wasn't a fan of the first film. I definitely still have problems with this movie. Definitely still have problems with this movie, but it's definitely an improvement.
Yeah, I mean, this was... I mean, you could almost have made this the first movie.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just started here.
And yeah, and that's kind of what I feel like they tried to do. They... I mean, since they kept Nick Cage on, they couldn't pretend like the other one didn't happen, but they still kind of did in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, they briefly, like, this is what happened in the first movie, and go. I mean, they could have done that, like, starting off with this. You don't have to have watched the first movie, and this is just a standalone movie, honestly.
Yeah.
It feels different than the first one. It looks different than the first one. The only thing it really has in common with the first one is it's a Ghost Rider movie starring Nick Cage. So, do you want to throw down a brief synopsis this time?
All right, brief synopsis. Johnny Blaze is Ghost Rider. Done. No. No, I don't know. There's more to this than just the Ghost Rider. We have a situation where El Satan hath fathered a baby.
Yeah.
With a gypsy. And now he's trying to get the baby back 13 years later because of some weird ritual that he needs to do to transfer his body from decrepit old man to nubile young boy.
Yeah.
That is a better vessel because it's only part human.
Yeah.
And basically he's just looking to bring about a new age of hell on earth in a body that he can let his Satan dick fly.
Yeah. And that's a pretty good synopsis for the movie. I guess the first thing I want to get into, it's a problem I have with a lot of movies, but it shone really well for me in this movie as a problem, not like, this was really good. Predictability in this movie was off the fucking charts to a point where it made me more bored with the movie than I should have been, because like, every like twisty turn, I'm just like, well, we all knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
We all knew that this was going to happen, and like... I'm honestly a little disappointed they even bothered to take away his Ghost Rider powers. I'm like, well, I know he's going to get him back. He's going to get him back from the goddamn kid. I'm just like...
They already made like 17 points of pointing out that, hey, I mean, you're going to be Satan's new vessel, but you're kind of already Satan.
Yeah.
You can just kind of Satan power.
Yeah, the second
just
they...
do it.
The second that they made it clear that he was Satan's son and that he had Satan's powers... I knew that that's how Ghost Rider was going to become Ghost Rider again.
Yeah.
Or rather, Johnny Blaze was going to have Ghost Rider trapped inside his body again. And, like, the little things like that, like, I was just... All I could think is, like, why fucking bother? And I have that problem a lot with superhero movies in particular. Like, whenever they do the storyline of, like, and then his powers went away. I'm like, yeah, But we know they're getting him back. Yeah. We know that's what's going to happen. We know Wolverine isn't just going to never heal again. We know that Peter Parker isn't going to, like, never climb up another goddamn wall. Just, like, what made it the worst for me was The Flash. Even though I love that show, they did an episode towards the end of the second season, I guess, like, at a point where there are, like, 6 or 7 episodes left, where he lost his powers. And I'm just like, yeah, but we know this isn't the goddamn season finale. They're not just going to have 7 seasons of him like, man, I wish I could run fast right now. Like, that's just not how it works.
I mean, they could.
I mean, they could, but who's going to watch The Flash without The Flash? That would end up being the
big twist, is everybody expects him to get his powers back, and then it just cuts to him later, and he's really fat because he kept eating like a maniac. I never got my powers back.
Yeah, this is just the worst
day. I've got fucking diabetes now.
But, I mean, and that's all I could think of, is just, like, we know you're not forever without your powers.
Yeah.
And to the point where I don't even see why they even try to do that trope anymore. And in this movie, it just wasn't necessary.
Yeah. I mean, they brought up a little more of the history of who the spirit was. And, like, I kind of knew that's what was going on, but I was debating how they were going to do it. Like, were they just going to have the kid just straight give him Ghost Rider powers back? Or was the fucking, like, angel spirit just didn't actually leave him, and he was going to have, like, some weird awakening scene and, like, his wings pop out and murder people and shit? Like, there was a couple different ways they could have done it, but yeah, it was obvious that it was going to happen. Otherwise, like, there was no way that this movie could end in any reasonable fashion.
I mean, they honestly could have just set it up where, like, the religious cult guys, the whatever Church of Tattoo Face, the, like, wherever that fucking place was.
Church of Raiden and his tattoos.
Yeah, like, when they double-crossed everybody, just been like, oh, yeah, and we can't take that demon out of your body, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, carried on the same course of events, and then instead of being like, well, now that I'm not Ghost Rider, I would just be trading another demon for another one, they could have just been like, well, even though the only reason I did this was to get the demon taken out of my body, I would just be really shitty, just be like, well, I have no play in this anymore. And so it would have worked just as well.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that to happen. And, like, things like that irritate me. In this movie, the things like that irritated me mainly because it made me bored. Having said that, I was not bored this whole movie.
Yeah.
Not by a long shot. That was one of my big problems with the first Ghost Rider movie, is I was just bored that entire fucking movie. It just wasn't entertaining. Like, Nick Cage was cool.
Yeah.
But the story was really lame, and the effects weren't very good, and the action sequences were boring. This movie, I'm going to go ahead and say the first half of this movie was so incredibly entertaining that I was prepared to be like, fucking, I don't care if it didn't make any goddamn sense. I don't care if, like, fucking, they could have just, like, slapped their hands together for the fucking next, like, half the movie, and I would have given it 5 stars. Until we had such a terrible fucking pacing issue where I just about wanted to go to sleep the whole second half of this movie.
Yeah.
That I started to change my mind about that.
I feel like part of the problem is, like, that happens a lot with ritual movies. Like, because they want to show off that everything about, like, a ritual taking place is so structured. Like, they want to show, like, every step of the process and stuff like that. And so, like, we get the, he's got to get the kid, and then they've got to, like, wait until a certain time of day, and then, like, X amount of people have to be there to do the thing. And, like, I think of other movies that I've watched with rituals in it, and they all do that. They all, slow the fuck down.
I have the perfect counterpoint to this that's so comparable it's not even funny. Do you know what I'm about to say?
No.
Drive Angry.
Okay.
The whole end of that was, like, balls of the wall, what the fuck is happening, like, fucking entertainment to a point that very few movies get to, but it was still the whole cult thing. But I think that's part of what, like, was disappointing, is, like, they blew their action scene load at that second action sequence.
Yeah.
I know you know which one I'm talking about. The one with the fuck, like, that was the best part of the fucking movie. And then when they have the big climax, it doesn't compare in any way, shape, or form to what we saw what felt like years later through sitting through, like, the whole church and villain that I didn't care for and all this other thing. All the other things, it just did not hold a candle to the, like, halfway through the movie point action sequence. Like, once that sequence happens, that's when I'm like, I'm all fucking in. This movie has my attention. I'm fucking ready to just love everything. And then the movie comes to a screeching halt and never gets its momentum back. And it's so disappointing because up until that point, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I would even go as far as to say, like, the next two scenes after that are at that same level where we just have fucking Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze talking about pissing as the Ghost Rider. And we go to a visual of him pissing a flamethrower. And I'm just like, all right, this movie still got it. But then it just stops.
Yeah.
It just stops right there. And it was so disappointing for me because I was enjoying a Ghost Rider movie after the last Ghost Rider movie. That's something I just didn't think could happen. Even though I'm very interested in the character, I wish I knew more about him.
Yeah.
But if they could just, like, mirror the first half of this movie for the second half, it would be, like, one of the best superhero movies ever. Like, period.
Yeah.
Because, like, and I don't know what they could have done to make the ending sequence better or as good.
Maybe made Satan a threat of some sort instead of just some old dude.
So let's talk about Satan. Let's talk about the villains in this movie. So technically we have three villains.
Okay.
Technically. We have Raiden, God of Thunder, Protector of the Realm of Earth.
I don't even consider him a villain. Like,
I kind of, well,
He wanted to kill the Antichrist.
So yeah.
That's kind of a win.
I mean,
he wanted to kill a kid to do it, but.
And once again, that's just one of those things. The second he's just like, I'm coming from like a high church. I'm just like, so you're telling me that a super, super ancient religious group is just going to partner up with a demon and they're going to save this child who has demonic powers. I'm just like, they're going to double cross him. I don't know to what extent they're going to double cross him.
Well, that's the thing that's going to happen. The religious sect, when they showed him at the beginning, said that they didn't want Ghost Rider involved, that they didn't need him. It was Moreau that was hellbent on bringing the Rider.
That's very true. But regardless, the second I know that they're trying to bring this child with satanic powers to an ancient church, which, let's face it, historically, the older the church is, the shadier they are. Just historically. I mean, like, if they're, like, coming from, like, Templar-type shit, that's when things are gonna start being pretty bad. Which is the vibe I was getting from the tone that they had about the church.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm just like, something really terrible is gonna happen with them joining with them. Our next villain is Satan, a.k.a. the Devil, a.k.a. Mephisto. He goes by many names because he's an ancient evil, yada, yada, yada.
This time, apparently, Rourke.
Rourke. he was not in the movie very much, but what time he was in the movie, he didn't really have anything to offer.
Right? There was this weird... There was this weird, like, foreboding, omnipotent kind of, not really omnipotent, but, like, omnipresent, like, yeah, dread behind him that, like, the whole time I'm just like, at any second, he's just going to be like, fuck this mortal shell, and, like, we're going to get this ridiculous, like, explosion of demonic power, and Satan's going to walk the earth to fight Ghost Rider, and that sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome. What comes to mind for me is my best direct comparison, which I might get a lot of shit for talking good about this movie. When we're talking about movies that have Satan as, like, a villain of sorts, or just, like, good versus evil, angels versus demons, that kind of thing, a movie that I like to reference is Constantine. I actually liked the Keanu Reeves Constantine movie.
I never watched it.
It got a really bad rap, and I understand why. A lot of my liking for it is the ending of the movie, which I know you well enough to know that if you haven't seen it yet, you're just not planning on ever watching Constantine. Which is fine, because, I mean, it's a movie you can miss.
Yeah.
How much do you know about Constantine as a comic book character?
I'd never even heard of him.
Okay, so He tried to kill himself at one point. And I don't remember if, like, Satan stopped it or someone stopped it. It's been a while. Regardless, he knows that there is a hell at this point, and he knows that he has a, what's the word for, like, the sin that doesn't go away? Or there's, like, a mortal sin or something like that, regardless. So he knows that when he dies, he's going to hell. And he's, like, trying to stop that from happening by, like, fighting demons and shit. He also was a really awful chain smoker, so he has, like, really awful lung cancer. And there's a point at the end of the movie where he sacrifices himself to save someone else, which would cause that sin to be, like, wiped off, pretty much. It's, like, the only way to get rid of that sin. They talk about it in the movie a lot. And once again, I haven't actually read the comics, so I don't know how close it is, which is probably why I'm okay with the movie and a lot of other people aren't.
Yeah.
But Satan realizes, and once again, he's not in the movie very much, he realizes that fucking Constantine sacrificed himself and was not going to go to hell, and he wanted Constantine in hell really bad, because it was like someone who got, like, stolen from him, because he didn't die when he killed himself or whatever. So not only does Satan save his life, he gets rid of his cancer, and by saving his life, it negates the fact that he sacrificed himself to save someone. He's like, no, motherfucker, you're not getting out of it this easy. Fuck you. And, like, but one of the things that made me, like, so happy about it is, as, like, Keanu Reeves is being, like, lifted up to heaven, he gives Satan the finger. Like, and I don't know why, but that's, like, one of the most, like, awesome things to me, because, like, fuck off. And I love it so much. It's, like, mostly, like, there's a few moments that I really like. There's, like, a really cool exorcism scene where, like, they somehow, like, trap a demon in a mirror and then, like, break the mirror.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty cool. But regardless, even though Satan is arguably in Constantine even less than he is in Ghost Rider, he still feels like more of a threat.
Yeah.
And seems more evil and seems like something that has to be dealt with. Whereas in this movie, he just seemed like an old man who was there.
Yeah. I mean, I get that they were trying to say that, like, his powers and stuff were fading. Like, they made the comparison of, like, a papier-mâché flamethrower and stuff like that. And, like, as he used his powers, his body weakened and stuff. But I'm just like, I mean, at the end of the day, you're still Satan.
Yeah.
Can you not just, like, burn through it and be in demon form on Earth? Or would, like, when your vessel dies, would you just go back to hell? Well, and then,
or even
how did you
that,
get out in the first place?
This is my bigger question about this. So we're talking about the papier-mâché flamethrower, which is a pretty decent metaphor for what's going on. It brings it to your head pretty well. But then we have to think about the main character in this movie, who is Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
He seems to not have any problem using his powers inside his human shell form, right?
Well, I guess technically,
or without destroying his host.
Technically, he swaps places. But I don't know if they ever, I don't know if they ever really touch on that in the movies, but that was one thing that they kind of made it out in, like, the comics, is that, like, it's, like, a weird transference thing. Like, it's not, he lives inside, but, like, when he comes out, it's his body, not Blaze's body, but they kind of share.
In the comics, they share the same body. So even though he, like, takes, like, Ghost Rider form, it's still Johnny Blaze's body.
Yeah.
And both consciousness, or consciousnesses, that's a rough one, are inside the same body at all times. So, like, Johnny Blaze is conscious. Thank you. I'm having such a hard time with this word right now. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me.
Well, you're putting two words together.
I think I am. I think that's the problem. So he's there when it's Ghost Rider, and Ghost Rider's there when it's him, but it's still Johnny Blaze's body. He's like, it's almost like any possession movie, he's possessed by the Ghost Rider, and just like any other, like, possession type thing, he's able to do things that a human isn't able to do, but it's still being done through his body.
Yeah.
And that's how I perceived it in the comics when I was reading, like, Civil War and World War Hulk and shit like that. But the point I was making, though, is that he's not destroying his body with how much power he's, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine, because obviously you'd expect Satan to have much more power than a thing that Satan is enslaving and using.
Yeah.
That only makes sense. However, I feel like Satan could have used enough power to not destroy the body, but still more than Ghost Rider, who isn't destroying his body.
Well, I mean,
Or at least enough to put up some sort of a fight.
Yeah.
There was no fight put up. It was just like, when we finally have Satan and Ghost Rider fighting, it's sort of like, and then Ghost Rider runs a train on you.
They never really fight, though. That's the thing. Like, Satan just runs from him and then gets caught and then gets thrown in a hole.
Exactly.
There's no fight.
Put up some kind of a fight. Like, that's what, once again, I've used this analogy before. This is like what would happen if I tried to fight a middle school child. It would not end well. Just like if you tried to fight me, it wouldn't end well. And I don't perceive that should be the power difference between Satan, even if he's trying to hold back his power, and Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Or even it should be the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like they were trying to say that as the body was decaying, that, like, he didn't have as much power, and that's why he needed to change bodies and stuff. Because, I mean, even just transferring fucking Kerrigan into Pestilence or whatever, and he starts to, like, drain and wither away. So I feel like at this point, the vessel is so weak that any use of power is going to start fucking up his body.
Yeah. See, I...
But at the same time, like, that's a dumb thing to do. Like, I get what they're trying to say with it. I just think they shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I agree. It's time to talk about Kerrigan and... I guess Pestilence, like you said. AKA Beetlejuice stuck inside a Ghost Rider movie.
He has no powers that, like, Beetlejuice has.
No, I'm saying the way he looked, the way he talked, and the way he acted was Beetlejuice.
A little bit.
I mean, they might as well have fucking cast... Oh, goddamn, what's his name?
Michael Keaton.
Thank you. Michael Keaton. Because we would have got the same performance if he was trying to be Beetlejuice.
No, we would have got a much better performance.
Yeah. I mean, his line deliveries were like Beetlejuice. And the fact that he just looked like Beetlejuice. It kind of made my eye twitch a little bit.
I mean, there's really only one or two ways that you can portray a body that's containing the power of decaying every living tissue. Like, they wanted him to be dead-looking, and...
I get that. I do. But the line delivery... Like, I wouldn't have put it together if it wasn't for his, like, line delivery. And suddenly, he just, like, started trying to make one-liners once he got the powers. I also had a problem with the inconsistency of his powers. Besides the fact that, like, some people take it much longer to decay than others. That's fine. That doesn't bother me, because it could be, like, how well he's gripping it or things like that. But then when I start to have problems, the first thing that I noticed was there was a point when he was driving and he was, like, kept picking up, like, the sandwich and this and then the Twinkie and that didn't decay. And, like, I got the Twinkie joke. That's fine. It was a little bit of a chuckle. Not really, but whatever. Good job. But what I noticed was he was touching the steering wheel. And I was like, so... It has to be, like, tissue-type matter, or, like, something that's not necessarily even alive, because the piece of wood,
yeah,
like, decayed.
Well, that's organic.
Yeah, organic, thank you, organic material. But then, there's a point where he's fighting the fucking followers of Raiden, or whatever they are, and the guy's sword starts to rust and fall apart. And then later on, there's a point where he touches a windshield and it starts to crack.
Which is not how glass decays, by the way. I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to yell at the science of that.
But even
glass
beyond
that...
Glass
is a liquid. Okay. So if you were to decay a fucking glass by aging it, it wouldn't shatter and then break around his finger. It would just fucking liquefy further and melt down its fucking pane of existence, which would have been a cooler looking thing.
But... There's a lot of times, like, they just never made up their mind what will decay and what will won't, because in my head all I can think is like, if that sword decays and the glass decays, why isn't the steering wheel decaying?
The leather was fucking boiling. Or not, like, boiling, but it was, like, browning and stuff.
I didn't notice that. Yeah. I didn't see that.
There was a lot of, like, minor like, stuff like that takes a long time to decay, so I think it would, like,
and I did notice as
quickly. Like, when he strapped the kid in, like, the nylon straps and stuff were rusty and gross. And
that's something else is, how did he get the kid in there without the kid decaying?
Satan.
Satan did it. But yeah, and
his Satan powers protected him. I don't know, there has to be like some form of control, because when he was holding Johnny Blaze at the end and stuff, he was like running the decay across his head but like healing it, or maybe the kid was keeping him alive, I don't know.
I'm not sure. It felt like weird inconsistencies, but honestly, like, I feel like instead of having like two or three, however you view it, half-ass villains, just give me one good villain. Just one that's just like where the fuck is Dormammu? I can't remember his name. You know what I'm talking about though. Fucking firehead guy who's not Ghost Rider. I know he technically is a Doctor Strange fucking.
Yeah.
But still, he would have fit in here pretty well, I guess, rights issues. I don't know where Ghost Rider lied when they made this, because it had the Marvel Knights logo at the front, and I don't know, like, I guess I don't know what studio was doing this one, if it was still whoever did the last one. I feel like it has to be a different studio than the last one, because of how just fucking different it was.
I don't know.
But regardless, I'd like just one, like, a decent villain. And I feel like that's what hurt the last movie as well, was the villain was just fucking boring and I didn't care.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, Blackheart's a cool villain. They just didn't
they didn't do him well
that they could have.
Yeah. No, I agree, cuz I remember we were looking him up and we're just like, why the fuck wasn't any of this shit in the goddamn movie?
Any of these 900 powers that he has that are just like insta kills.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, but once again, though, I've done my share of bitching now about a lot of problems I have with the movie. It had a pacing issue. The end was boring. It was predictable. The villains were just honestly garbage. It had garbage villains. And yeah. I'm absolutely okay saying that. Oh, one more thing I want to throw out about the villains before I start talking about the things that I liked about the movie. It irritated me that when fucking Cardigan finally got his powers, every time he was doing anything until the very end, it was just like a black screen with like a little like looky-loo circle where you could see what happened. I'm just like, there's no point to that. I think they're trying to be
stylistic. There was a lot of times that they did weird stuff like that with like, I don't know, they were trying too hard, but not hard enough to emulate like what you would see in a comic panel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure like in a comic panel that looks really cool because you'd have the matte black and then fucking hand of decay reaching out and melting someone and stuff like that. But trying to convey that into film, the way they went about it was just terrible.
And I mean, there was some pretty cool camera work in this movie.
Yeah.
But, and they made a lot of really bizarre choices. Now, the things I did like, because I'm about to suck the first half of this movie off like nothing else.
Before we, the one thing I wanted to say, like, it's not even that the villain and stuff not having power is an issue. It's just the way that by not having power, he didn't present any threat. Because one thing I'm thinking of was fucking, if we look at Civil War and look at fucking
Baron Zemo.
No powers.
Yeah.
Terrific villain.
Yeah.
And so, like, they still could have made this power decaying Satan threatening.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
If they had just tried.
And then, I was talking about inconsistency a second ago, and this is one more thing I've got to get off my chest, because it just now popped in. They also had really bizarre inconsistencies with Ghost Rider himself.
Yeah.
Like, the first time you see Ghost Rider in the movie, we get a pretty okay action sequence, although I felt like it could have been better because he decided to pin and stare the first person that he saw and just let everybody else just pretty much get the fuck away. Which was kind of silly to me. And, like, I mean, you can kind of argue that, like, his hunger and shit took over. But my problem was that in that scene, he got taken down with two shots from the grenade launcher. And that's fine until the next time we see him, he gets shot point blank with the fucking bunker buster missile, gets shot up in the air and bombs straight down to the ground and then explodes into a mushroom cloud. And then he just gets up like nothing fucking happened.
Yeah.
Which is just like one or the others guy, one of the others. One or the other. What the fuck is wrong with me? Am I having a stroke? Is that what's happening right yes. now?
I don't know. I think part of that was that they were trying to show that Ghost Rider was getting stronger over the course. Because like when they first fought, he hadn't hardly like eaten anybody's soul or anything yet.
Yeah.
Like he kind of got the one guy, and then they made a point of saying that Johnny had been like trying to keep him inside and like was hiding from shit. So maybe he was weak from not feeding.
But no, hold on. Because if you remember, he only fed on one person or two people in the movie.
Yeah.
He fed on the guy at the very beginning of that fight scene before he got shot with the two grenades. So he had just fed. Then he got shot with the two grenades. Then he doesn't feed again until after the thing with the rocket happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like when he like hits everybody with the fucking chains and they disintegrate, that he's like absorbing some of them through the.
I thought it was only supposed to. Well, I guess the pendant stare doesn't do that, so I guess it could be that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a weirdly not well defined kind of power.
And situation. I'm sure if I actually read the comics to Ghost Rider, I would be able to fucking lay it out what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, it just was one of those things like, well, that just doesn't make sense. Like, I would have honestly rather him just like fucking trying to outrun this fucking heat seeker on his fucking hellified goddamn motorcycle, being a boss and somehow just like get out of it.
Yeah.
That would have been way more entertaining to me. And then they like keep shooting him at it. That would have been way cooler than fucking him getting hit and then fucking mushroom cloud. He's like, nah, bro, I'm okay.
I don't know. I like that. I like that he like fucking chugged it off. Like, I was more bothered by the fact, I'm like, why are these grenades doing anything to him?
Yeah.
Like, I like the threatening thing of, nah, I just took a bunker buster to the fucking face and I'm just too mad to care.
And see, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like either he should have been fine after the two grenades and been fine, or be wrecked from both.
Yeah.
But when the bigger thing happens later and it's fine, and the smaller thing happens at the beginning and he just wakes up in the fucking hospital, that's when I'm like, all right, guys, you need to make up your mind.
Yeah.
One of these things can't be correct if the other one is.
Fair enough.
And either way they win it, if they stuck with it, that would have been okay with me. So I don't know. But now let's go into the things that I did like about the movie, which is pretty much the whole first half of the movie.
The return of hellification.
Yeah, so when this movie starts off, we get a pretty awesome, like, comic book-esque, like, introduction that's just like, this is what happened in the first movie. It's like, I fucking did a flip showing my ass, which I don't think happened.
Didn't happen in the first movie.
But it's cool.
It seems like something he would have done.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down with it. It looked cool. It caught anybody up who didn't watch the first one, which I don't blame you for not watching the first one. I don't blame you for not watching either of them, but I think everybody should watch like the first half of this movie. Because it's nonstop entertainment until it just stops being that.
Like, nonstop until it stops.
Yeah. But so you got a good 45 minutes of nonstop entertainment, and then They're just like, we give up. We just blew our whole load at the beginning, and now somebody fix it.
We only made half a movie. What do we do now?
Yeah, but so when we meet back up with Ghost Rider, he's been just fucking running from himself, running from his problems. He doesn't want to be Ghost Rider anymore, which, I mean, to be fair, who would want to be Ghost Rider?
Me.
Well, besides you. It was like, if you, every night you just black out and wake up surrounded by dead bodies, eventually you'd be pretty upset about it, I think.
Like, it sounds pretty fucking fun. I'm not gonna lie. Just fucking hellifying fucking machinery and making it into the belching hellfire vehicles of death and going around and fucking killing bad guys with fire chains. Sign me up. I'll do it. I'll do it right now.
Now, I will say, the hellification in this movie didn't seem, like, as cool or thought out as the hellification in the last movie. Like,
I thought it was better in this one than
For this one, I just felt like all he did was make everything on fire, whereas the last one got, like, crazy, like, satanic-looking spikes and fucking...
Yeah.
It changed everything's shape and just turned it into, like, something that was different, but you could see how it was there. This one's just like, now it's on fire. There's a lot of fire on it now.
I mean, his motorcycle changed a little bit. There was some, like... One thing that they were really proud of was just, like, now when there's fire involved, the leather gets all cracked and dried out and fucking looks like it's been boiled under intense heat. I'm like, okay, cool, but what else?
Yeah, and...
There's a lot of close-up shots of, like, burnt leather and stuff like that.
And his jacket, like, bubbling.
I'm like, all right, we get it.
But then, when he's Johnny Blaze, his jacket's fine.
There was a couple of scenes where it wasn't. Like, really? His jacket was just, like, permanently fucked up. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I guess. Some really expensive leather jackets you guys ruined to make this fucking movie.
You just go through those, don't you, Johnny?
It's like Luke Cage in hoodies.
Yeah, so, he gets stopped by Idris Elba, who, I mean, he worked in this movie pretty well. I feel like all the heroes in this cast worked well. Like, I started to care about all of them and what they were doing. I just wish, once again, I wish that I had cared about what the villains were doing.
Yeah.
It left a bad taste in my mouth, but Idris Elba was great. And, I can't think of the name of the woman who plays the Antichrist mom. But she fit in the movie pretty well and did everything. I thought she did.
I didn't care about her at all.
Fair enough.
Anytime she was on screen, I'm like, oh, it's a gypsy lady again. She's here to not contribute anything until suddenly she's a master sniper.
There you are, just being a gypsy. Well, they kind of explained why she would know how to use all those guns as well. She was with Kerrigan for a long time, and he was a gun runner professionally.
So?
You don't think that at some point...
I don't expect gun runner girlfriends that are just there to fucking be their playthings to be fucking master snipers. Like, that's a really intense skill that takes a lot of effort.
Maybe that's what she did whenever he left the house. Like, I guess I'm just gonna go outside and pop a couple rounds from 900 yards away
with mind bullets. That's telekinesis.
But yeah, so, pretty much Idris Elba shows up, and he's just like, look, we're going to lift your curse. We're going to get the fuck rid of it. You just have to find this kid. He calls him out for being the Ghost Rider, and I kind of like that scene. Once again, I really enjoyed everything at the beginning. Like, yeah. The setup was good, and when we get our first action sequence, it was okay. I feel like it was about on par as the final action sequence. Like, once again, my big problem with that one is when Ghost Rider shows up to save the kid and the mom... He legitimately, like, wrecks two people, then just walks up to someone and spends way too long giving them the penance stare.
I don't think he was even doing the penance stare yet, is the thing. Like, at least they just decided to do it completely, because, like, in the last one, they, like, made a, like, effort to show that, like, there was something radiating from him, and then there was, like, stuff fucking flashing through people's eyes and shit, and, like, nothing happened, really, with that dude.
He just sort of spontaneously combusted, though. Because, yeah. Like, the penance there technically is supposed to physically burn all of your sins off your soul, yeah. Which burns your soul with it. And I felt like that's what I was seeing. Because he just looked in this guy's eyes until he just burst into flames.
Yeah. They could have made it look
better, though. And that's the same thing that happened with him with what's his name at the end.
Yeah.
Because he did that to him as well. But my problem with it is, he spent a really long time doing that, and it had the exact same result of hitting them with his chain. So why? Why do that? It's not like, I understand doing that to the guy at the end, because like, oh, this guy actually has superpowers, and he's a problem, and he's making me decay. I should just make him spontaneously combust, yeah. And that's fine. That other guy, there's no reason to single him out.
Yeah.
He's like, no. You owe someone money.
Maybe that guy was like a child rapist or some shit. We don't know what crazy sins that he had. My problem with it though was, why the fuck? All right, so cool part and then immediate bad part about it. Cool part: Ghost Rider's head looks way fucking better in this movie.
He does. It absolutely does.
The bad part with it, why the fuck is his head moving like a goddamn bird? Like, anytime he's doing something, he's got this, like,
little... Well, that's probably Nick Cage just being Nick Cage. Head
jiggle, like, nah, I need to be a bird right now.
I think they were trying, because, like, once again... I want to cite possession movies. There's a lot of possession movies where, like, have people, like, moving fast forward or moving fast reverse.
The fast movement was cool. It's just, like, when he was standing there looking at the guy, like, I'm like, are you going to do the penance stare, or are you just going to stand there and twist your head like a goddamn parrot trying to figure out what you're looking at?
See, I feel like that was sped up, and, like, subtle movements seem more jerky in fast forward.
Something.
And so I think that's what was happening there.
But he did it, like, all the time.
And you're absolutely right. And I don't know if that's a choice made by Nick Cage. I don't know if that's a choice made by the director. But what I do know is this is not Ghost Rider's first rodeo. Obviously, there was a first movie.
Yeah.
And he's specifically there to save this child and stop him from being kidnapped. Johnny Blaze still... at least in the comics, can try to make Ghost Rider do certain things.
Yeah.
Which would explain the end where Ghost Rider just picks up the kid and delivers him to his mom instead of being like, you're made of evil, penance stare! So for me, it's baffling why he would run into the situation, see the kid he's supposed to save, and be like, no, I'm going to spend 5 minutes over here burning this guy's soul. Like, it would have been even better if he just fucking chained everybody, left that one guy sitting there shitting his pants, and then went to him.
Right.
But it's like one of the first people he confronts, and so everyone's like, let's just get away while he's awkwardly looking into this guy's eyes. Why? There's no need for that.
Yeah.
And like... that's shitty on the writer's part. It's shitty on everybody, because no one stepped up and like, this is stupid.
Yeah, because, I mean, it made it seem like it was contradictory, like Ghost Rider just didn't care while he was there. He's like, no, I gotta make a beeline right fucking here.
To this and red then, shirt motherfucker.
Yeah, we're, like, just, no, I'm talking about, like, to even go to the group. It's like, when he turned, it was, the doing it that way almost made it seem like when he turned into Ghost Rider, he forgot that he was trying to save the kid.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, nah, there is a clusterfuck of evil over there that I'm gonna go put my dick in. Let's just go do that. And then he gets there, and he's just like, yeah, fuck this guy, and fuck that guy, and... especially fuck this guy.
I'm going to spend so much more time on you. That, like, what did that guy do? What did he do where Ghost Rider's like, nah, dude, your soul's got to burn correctly. And the fire chains won't do it. Like, it was just really bizarre to me.
Somewhere there's like a weird like intermediate movie between the first one and the second one that's just about that guy peeling the heads off of children or something.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be. He's done something terribly fucked up.
But... one of the things I really want to talk about this movie, it's between the two action sequences, right before the second action sequence, is one of my favorite parts of the movie, because we get, and it might be the first one we've had for Nick Cage November from either thing so far. I mean, I guess I'm just saying between last year and this one movie, it's our first Nick Cage freak out. And it was fucking beautiful. We needed it.
It's scratching at the door!
Yeah.
Scratching! Yeah.
And that kind of stuff is one of the reasons why I love Nick Cage.
That kind of stuff is why we have this event.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the part in the movie where he just forgets that he's an actor and goes back to being a raging lunatic masquerading as an actor.
Yeah. Like, and what made it even better is he delivered it almost the exact same way he delivered the line, switch to kryptonite and Kick-Ass. The switch to kryptonite! Like, but it's always, scratching at the door! Scratching at the door! And I couldn't handle it.
We're gonna let it out!
Yeah. And it was just brilliant. It was so brilliant. And I feel like somebody needs to make, and it's probably already on the internet, just like a mashup of all of Nick Cage's like freakouts and just Cage-ism moments where he's just doing that shit in his movies. And I feel like my life would be complete if I watched that. Just like the probably 30-minute video of just Nick Cage doing that shit.
How'd it get burned?
How'd it get burned? I guess his first freakout was Wicker Man for us. I don't know, because we also watched Knowing, and what do you think of this? Just hits the tree with a fucking baseball bat.
Oh, fuck. I am so looking forward to so many more of this.
Yeah, I'm right? But, like, this one for me was just a really great Nick Cage moment.
Yeah.
Just, like, the scratching at the door line delivery about made me shit my pants.
There were several in this movie, too, because they're like, that whole interrogation scene is just like, they were like, all right, Nick, we need you to not take your meds for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then come shoot this scene. We're going to film the whole rest of the movie, but this scene, we really need you at maximum free Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And he's just like, all right, boss, I'm going to do it.
Do you guys even know what you're getting into right now?
Like, the last time I did this, they had to fucking lock me in a cage and send me to the moon. No, they didn't, Nick. That's not a thing. But I'm glad that you're committing to this already.
Oh, God damn it. It was good. That was good. But, yeah, and he's interrogating the guy and whatnot. And, of course, he's, like, getting the twitchy face going on, and I don't know, I just really loved everything about that scene. And, like, I got really excited, because I was like, I bet I'm going to get a lot more of this shit in this movie. And I got really excited, and then we didn't.
I mean, we kind of did. There was the scene, like, right, I guess it was all really just that one scene, like, just all stretched out, because I was going to say, like, when he's driving on the fucking motorcycle and they're like showing him like freaking out, yeah. Like half transforming and just like maniacally laughing.
Yeah, that was great too. But now we get to talk about the thing we've been wanting to talk about this whole fucking podcast. The second action sequence in this goddamn movie has everything that's good about this movie in it.
Yeah.
We get him being like a ridiculous Ghost Rider, which in a way that only Nick Cage can do. It makes me sad that I know they're not going to try to make Nick Cage be Ghost Rider anymore, because God, I need it. I need him to be in a good Ghost Rider movie. And this was for half of it.
Yeah.
Like I first, like halfway through this movie, I was thinking like, this is going to be my favorite superhero movie. And it's because of this scene. So, Ghost Rider shows back up where they're buying fucking missiles to fight Ghost Rider with because they're fucking done. Which I'm really enjoying, Kerrigan at this point in the movie, because I felt like it was a nice twist to be like, no, it's just this fucking arms dealer who's coming out dicks hanging like he's the goddamn Punisher. And that's an interesting villain for Ghost Rider. Just someone who's just like, I will fucking nuke you. And he seemed like much more of a threat before he became Beetlejuice 2. Like, to me. I felt like he even put up a bigger fight against Ghost Rider before all that happened. He actually put Ghost Rider in the hospital before all that happened.
Yeah.
And this is, like, the peak of it, where he just got all these fucking missiles.
He got, like, the best line of it too, here, because, like, he's buying these fucking missiles, and the guy's just, like, asking him, you know, how big of an army are you taking on? He's like, nah, just one.
Just one guy.
And then he fucking shows up, and the other arms dealer's just like, what the fuck is that? And he's just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Whips out this giant fucking bunker buster missile and is just like, no, we're just doing this.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to do this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like a setup for anything and it gets spoiled. Like, no, he shoots him with that fucking thing like 3 times.
Yeah. And it was great. It was absolutely great. I think one of my favorite parts, not my favorite part of the action sequence, is that one hapless son of a bitch who just refuses to stop machine gunning Ghost Rider in the mouth for some reason. Like, you'd think after the first, like, 3 seconds of shooting, like, maybe I should do something else. He's just still sitting here with his mouth open. I'm going to change my plan. Maybe aim lower. Maybe shoot him in the dick.
Maybe,
see if
maybe
that does
move.
But so he just keeps shooting Ghost Rider in the mouth, and then Ghost Rider proceeds to vomit fire bullets on him until he disintegrates into nothing, which is probably the most metal phrase I've ever said, maybe in my life.
I just ate an entire clip of Uzi rounds, and now I'm vomiting the molten metal back onto you.
But see, to me, that even sounds, like, giving the setup makes it sound less metal. Just the whole, like, phrase, I vomited fire bullets on a guy one time. She was like, fucking A. Like, I mean, and that was fucking great. And everything in that fight sequence where he's just, like, grabbing people with the chains and throwing them, and sometimes they explode, sometimes they don't. I'm still a little hazy on how that works.
Depends on how much hell he pulses through the chain, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure. And no complaints. But it builds up to this moment, because they're in this, like, mine for some reason, or a quarry, I guess.
Yeah.
And as we talked about in the last podcast we did about a Ghost Rider movie, which is, like, a year ago from, like, right now, he hellifies things that he touches. He makes them into, like, hell versions of what they are. And it's been pretty cool so far in the movies, like, he hellifies the chains and they catch on fire. His motorcycle turns into, like, this demonic motorcycle from hell. Fucking, there's a point where he picked up, like, a club or something, and it, like, grew a bunch of spikes and shit.
Meh.
But in this movie, he gets in one of these pieces of heavy machinery used for mining.
And I don't know what the fuck this thing is. It's, like, this weird, it's kind of like a crane. It's got this big fucking base on it with this big, long boom arm. And then at the end of the arm, it's got, like, a giant circular saw that's made out of, like, buckets and fucking chains and stuff. And I'm assuming it's some sort of, like, heavy mining saw that, like, busts through rocks and, like, lifts the rocks up so that it can get it out of the way for the other stuff to come in. And, of course, when they're, like, rolling into this scene, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And they, like, show it in a way, I'm like, they're going to use this somehow. How are they going to use this fucking thing? I figured one of the bad guys would use it to try to crush Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised when I was wrong.
Because Ghost Rider just jumps in this fucking thing like he owns it. And then it just turns into the hell version of whatever this already hellish-seeming thing is. And, like, the whole, from that point on, the whole movie could have been him and that thing just destroying everything he perceived to be evil, and I would have stood up and applauded.
Just this giant flaming hell mine saw blasting across Eastern Europe.
Yeah, and he wiped out fucking everybody. The only reason that Kerrigan is back later on in the movie is because Satan brings him back as Beetlejuice. He said his name 3 times, and then he's out to fight the spirit of vengeance. And, but I mean, like, even if that was the, like, give me, like, 2 more smaller action sequences in this movie, and then have it end with that, and that be the end of the movie, this would have been a fucking 5-star movie for me.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just more of what we got up until that point, including that point, it's so great. It is so much goddamn fun. Like, it's one of the most fun movies ever.
Yeah.
Until just suddenly all the momentum in the movie just goes the fuck away.
Yeah.
Like,
if they had just, like, flipped it and had, like, the ritual shit happen at the beginning and even left it kind of slow and boring as it was, as awesome as that first half of the movie was, if that was, like, our end to the movie, where we get, like, a climactic fight, and then he's literally just destroying his enemies with this giant saw to end the movie, still would have been great.
Like, how awesome would it be if, like, Satan fucking hulked out into some, like, demon form, and then Ghost Rider got in that thing, and then they fucking fought?
Yeah.
Like, fucking yes. Take all my goddamn money.
That's just a scene with that big fucking saw burrowing through this giant Satan's chest. Like, brrr, just fucking bloody fire and brimstone going everywhere.
Yeah, man. Like, I would fucking shit my pants if that was the movie we got.
So, Marvel, if you're listening.
Yeah.
We know you brought Ghost Rider back for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I haven't seen it yet because it's not on Netflix yet. But I've heard that they've done Ghost Rider a lot of justice.
Well, they're doing
the rest of justice. Put him in a big fucking mining saw.
Well, from what I've gathered, they're doing the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, which still technically leaves them open to do Donnie Blaze for the movies if they want.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with them having 2 Ghost Riders out. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to.
They won't.
But I would love it if they did. Because, I don't know. I mean,
that's not to say they can't kill one and then have the other one come in.
I mean, they both exist at the same time in the Marvel Universe, in their comics. there's both the Robbie Reyes and the fucking Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider. Just like right now.
Is it not the same demon?
I'm not 100% sure. I know there's a point in the comics where, like, Johnny Blaze goes to talk to Robbie Reyes because he knows there's another Ghost Rider. But no, see, even in the first movie, there was, like, the cowboy Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
there was him.
So I guess it would be different demons, though.
Well, yeah.
So.
But I guess similar yeah. demons? It doesn't matter. I mean, if they can do it in the comics, they can do it in the movies. If they want to. They don't have to. I mean, I guess technically, it's not even that I want Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider back. I want Nick Cage as Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider to
I want be in Johnny the Cage Ghost Rider.
Johnny Cage. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Now, a weird thing that I want to talk about like the ending of this movie that I'm not even going to say is good or bad, but it's very just weird. So Ghost Rider loses his powers because Raiden takes him away from him and shit. And then we're Highlander, whichever one you prefer. It can really go either way. So he loses his powers, and they want to go save the kid, which leads us to a very weird start to the finale of this movie, because they end up breaking into where they're doing this, like, satanic cult meeting thing, right? Yeah. And then we proceed to get what I would call 3.5 to 4 minutes of Nick Cage and Idris Elba shooting down unarmed people. Just massacring them. Running around with machine guns and fucking... And then they have a sniper. And granted, they're not innocent. But literally, we just have a point in this movie where the hero and the hero's helpers are just running in guns blazing with a bunch of unarmed people. And just massacring them.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know that they were unarmed. They just died too quickly to use their arms.
It went on for long enough where if anybody had anything, somebody would have pulled... At least you would have seen somebody like, I'm dead!
clenching their gun. I guess maybe you can't bring guns to a satanic ritual.
Yeah,
because... There's a bouncer at the door that checks... I mean, the guys outside had guns.
Where the fuck were they?
They died. Fucking oh, that's Tootsie right. Bitch sniped them all, that's except right. for the four that Idris took out.
That's right, because he threw the wine at him. And
yeah.
And I really enjoyed Idris Elba's character in the movie.
I did and didn't at the same time. Like, it was weird. Like, I don't know, he was kind of cool, but then they were just like, but remember, he's a drunk.
Yeah.
He really likes wine. So every other word is him making a joke about wine.
Yeah.
Don't forget he likes wine.
I guess I overlooked that just because he was, like, just a badass normal person who was in the superhero movie. And I always like that concept. Which is like,
I mean, I like that character archetype, too. Like, the holy warrior that's just there to fuck shit up and murderize everything in the name of God.
Yeah.
Like, we're just gonna go in, and there's a bunch of bad people here, so I'm gonna kill them. As violently as possible.
Well, it's the only way.
And then I'm gonna rub my cross and it'll be all good.
Yeah, I mean. But, yeah.
Bloody Christ is on my side. He gets it.
Hey. Crochet.
God damn it.
But no, so. I don't know. It's just weird to me that, like, in a quote unquote Marvel movie, we just have a Marvel superhero gunning down unarmed people. Like, I just something I didn't expect.
No.
I wasn't like mad about it. I was like, this is one of the more entertaining things that's happened in the second half of this movie, so I'm gonna allow it. But I don't know. So do you feel about the same way as me about like loving the first half and then just wishing that the second half didn't exist?
Or? I mean, I don't know. I don't wish the second half didn't exist. Like, I like the movie as a whole.
Yeah.
It could have been better, yes, but I don't know, like, the second part of the movie didn't offend me as much, I guess. Like, I agree that it slowed down and the pacing was a little weird, but it still worked for me.
Fair enough.
Like, I liked them sending in Ghost Rider with no powers and just, like... Now it's just the dude trying to do the thing. And I did like the concept of the kid having Satan's powers and then remembering that you know, Johnny Blaze told him, hey, you've got these evil powers, but that doesn't make you evil. You can still be a good person and stuff like that. And ultimately, the kid saves the day.
Yeah.
and he turns the Blaze back into Ghost Rider. But then we get, like, a weird thing at the end that led me down a weird rabbit hole that I'm still in and I need to fucking find more.
Before you get into that, I just want to point out something else that's really bizarre. There is no learner's curve on that kid's powers. Like, when anytime you see a superhero or anyone, like, learning to use their powers, they're at least rusty at first, right? Like, yeah. They at least have a moment where they're just like, this is weird. I just want to say the kid used his powers, like, twice in the movie.
Yeah.
Once as he stopped Ghost Rider from doing the penance stare onto his mom.
Well, he also healed himself. There was the weird like scream thing when Satan like activated his abilities and shit. And like he used them a couple times, but I think it's more like a subconscious thing. I don't think it's like the kid is learning how to use these powers. I think he's just like letting go and the powers are doing their own thing.
Fair enough. Cause like, I guess what popped in my head is just like, you'd think the kid would at least need some kind of instructions how to vomit the correct demon into Johnny Blaze.
Yeah. Like, but you could also say that, you know, the fucking Spirit of Vengeance is kind of mad and is probably like tapping on the ceiling of hell. Like, hey, I'd like to be back up there now. This is some bullshit. I've killed like all of these people twice. I need to be back up there now where I can kill living things.
Yeah.
And so like it was probably pretty easy for him to find that one.
Yeah, fair enough.
So anyway, that happens, and then Ghost Rider goes all fucking tarred strong on everybody and just murderizes everything there, chases down. We get a chase scene at the end of this movie, but like you said, it's just so lackluster compared to what they already did earlier that it's not even worth talking about. Like he fights fucking the decayed dude version of fucking Kerrigan, like throws him around on cars, and like there's some cool action to it, but like it never built up to anything like the first time did. So at the end of the movie, after he he totals the car that contains the child he's trying to save.
Yeah, I couldn't know, but I audibly said something like, yeah, fuck that little kid.
So it's just like, what could I... They're getting away. This motorcycle clearly goes faster than that car, but I'm not catching up with them. Fuck them.
Yeah.
And just fucking wrecks it. Which injures the fuck out of Satan. Like, he comes out crawling and, like, more busted up, and then Blaze just literally grabs him and throws him back to hell. Which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But a little anticlimactic. Because there was, like, no battle beforehand. It was literally, I wrecked your car and threw you in a hole.
Yeah, like, that's what we get for a finale for this movie. Wait, no. What we get for the finale of this movie. I need to talk about this for a second. So, Ghost Rider gets the kid out of the car and brings him to his mom as Ghost Rider, then turns back into Johnny Blaze, where he's just like, I felt the angel, because they go through this whole thing about how, like, the Spirit of Vengeance was once the Spirit of Justice and was an angel that got corrupted and went crazy and turned into a demon.
Yeah.
And he said that he felt the presence of the angel and brings the kid back to life. And then the kid is like, did we win? And it's so cheesy and out of place almost. Was like, yeah. Hell yeah, we did. And it like puts a weird emphasis on hell, and then it's just credits. That sort of was like, I'm Johnny Blaze and I'm the Ghost Rider.
Yeah, it's got shows off his cool new blue flame powers. That is what I'm talking about with the rabbit hole. Now, our copy of Ghost Rider fucked up, or right at the end, it got stuck in a loop, so we had to YouTube the end of this movie to see what happened, because it literally, like, stopped right as the kid said, did we win? And just, like, froze. So we looked it up, and all we got was the hell yeah joke. But from there, YouTube showed me that the internet has apparently re-edited both movies with this blue flame version of the Ghost Rider, and they're calling him Angel Rider. And it was baffling to me because, like, it showed all these little clips and stuff and all these different things, like Angel Rider versus this, Angel Rider versus that, and literally it was just scenes from the other movies where he's got blue fire. Like, it even had the scene where he was riding beside the other, yeah, the other rider in the last movie, and the fucking horse had blue fire and stuff, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? And so, like, I Google Angel Rider just to see, like, is this something that happens in the comics? Does he, like, fucking, does he transcend back to the angel form and become, like, a different version and, like, has different powers or some shit? But, like, when I type in Angel Rider into Google, it just links me back to Ghost Rider and talking about the name of the angel is Zarathos or whatever and stuff like that. And, like, it talks about,
yeah,
just regular Ghost Rider shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is Angel Rider? So, like, I've got homework that I'm assigning to myself. I'm gonna figure out what the fuck Angel Rider is. And is this just some weird thing that the internet decided to make fun of after this movie when he turned blue? Or is this, like, an actual thing that happens? Because I need to know.
Yeah.
It's bothering me.
Yeah. All right. So, I don't know how differently we're going to feel about this movie in the long run, but I think it's time to give it our ratings, our stamps, if you will.
Okay.
This is actually really hard for me, because on one hand, the first half of this movie is overwhelmingly fun. Yeah. We even see Nick Cage pissing fire twice in this movie.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like I've said many a time on this podcast, it just stops being fun all at once. And it becomes boring to a point of almost unwatchability to me. It starts to pick back up at the end, but it never gets its steam back from how awesome it was those long 45 minutes before that.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to give it a 3. But I'm going to say, if they would have managed to keep up some of the steam from the first half of the movie, this could have been a 5.
Yeah.
If the whole movie was like the end, it would have been like a 1.5. Because it just was fucking boring to me. But maybe not. Maybe I was just so excited after how awesome everything was that it was still just okay, and I was just being used to the awesome that was happening, just felt really shitty about it.
Yeah.
That's very possible, but I'm going to give this movie a 3.
See, I was hovering around 3.5 to 4, just, yeah, to kind of balance everything out, because, like, I don't know, like I said, the end of the movie didn't bother me nearly as much as it bothered you.
Yeah.
I still felt like everything worked out okay. And the movie is just tons of fun.
Yeah, I mean, like
I mean, even at the end, it being kind of slow and stuff, there was still a lot of fun, crazy shit that goes on that I, yeah, kind of felt carried it. Like, I couldn't give it a full 5 because, like I said, it does, like, drop off from 5 range level of fun in the middle, yeah, of the movie. But I was thinking like 3.5, 4. It's still definitely one that I'd recommend people watch.
Fair enough. So, next week, what are we wanting to watch next week?
Another Nick Cage movie.
All right. fair enough. I'm going to let you pick between Vampire's Kiss or Lord of War.
Okay. Let's watch Lord of War, because that's one I've actually been meaning to watch for a while and just haven't got around to it.
All right. So, you heard it here. Week 2 of Nick Cage November will be Lord of War. It's a cool little movie. I've seen this one once or twice. So, I guess until then, I'm Billy.
And I'm Cody.
This has been the Film Feed.
Scratching at the door!
The following podcast episode may contain spoilers, because Billy is a bitch. If you do not want to hear the spoilers, go do something else. If you have seen this movie already, then let's do this. Initiating podcast in 3, 2, 1.